Let's do it all three. 1, 2, 3.
1/2 a step too late or too early. You don't quite make it. 1/2 second too slow, too fast. You don't quite catch it. On this team, we fight for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know that's the difference between winning and losing.
Mean in the green. It's right here for you.
That's football.
Go Mean Green.
Welcome to the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, dedicated to students, alumni, and fans that truly bleed green. Follow us on Twitter at GoMeanGreen and visit our website, GoMeanGreen.com.
Love that!
Here we go!
Now, your hosts of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, Evan, Harry, and Ashton.
Did it again.
That's okay.
Jeez, man.
Abrupt.
I got to put that into iTunes. All right, everybody, thanks for being on with us tonight. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Ashton is not with us tonight. He is doing some stuff with the Mean Green for
Beyond the Green. He's actually filming stuff tonight, and which is a good thing.
That's right.
We're
it is a good thing.
For him on that.
And there's a lot of things going on. Obviously, the podcast next week will be the important one because that's right before game day. But we got a few things coming your way tonight, a few things to talk about. A lot of last-minute news that popped up this today on some players that became eligible. A couple of tidbits Brett threw out there this week. We'll have Brett on early later on in the show. But, Harry, we are about 9 days, 10 days in a wake-up here.
I mean, that just blows my mind.
It's been a long time coming. And when you kind of stop and think about it, where we were last year, at the end of the season last year, where we were halfway through the season last year. We've got a new coach, a new athletic director, a new quarterback, three new quarterbacks. A lot of changes. So I'll have to say I wanted to tap the brakes a little bit because I'm very cautiously optimistic right now.
Someone said they lost us. I'm sorry. We're back. You false alarmed us there.
Oh, that was wrong.
Boston Sports Fan 3.
Yeah, he's killing me.
Took away his moment.
That must have been something with Mixler. Yeah. So, because it still shows to be recording. So, a lot of changes, a lot of things. We got new quarterback situation. What's the latest? Have you heard anything good? I mean, obviously, we know that Morris is still the number one guy. People think he's poised. He looks good back there. He's the leader of the team. But the number two position's really starting to get interesting.
Well, and the thing that's crazy about it is, you know, they signed Devin O'Hara, the JUCO, tall kid, good arm, you know, looks like a good prospect, but – the word we're hearing right now is that Fine may be the second guy, which is – it's kind of hard to believe that a true freshman out of a tiny school in Oklahoma could come up here and impress this coaching staff so much. And things can change. I mean, obviously, next week we might find something different. But there seems to be good indication that Fine may be the number two guy, which is pretty interesting.
Well, he was from a tiny school, but he was pretty highly regarded.
He was essentially the MVP of the state of Oklahoma, and if it wasn't for his size, he would have been getting offers from OU and Oklahoma State. I know he got one scare we had was at the last minute. I want to say OU offered him a preferred walk-on type deal, and he stuck with us, and we offered him a full scholarship. But I just think – when I went to the first scrimmage and the first practices and just watching the guy, yes, he's small. Yes, you'd love to have the luxury of giving him a year in the weight room to build up some size and bulk and stuff like that, immature. But he's something special, Evan. I'm telling you, the guy's got a rocket arm. And he's mobile, too. That's the other thing. He can run around there. So if you know, with an offensive line that's kind of a question mark, he's a guy that might be able to make some good things happen.
Well, And a lot of people were expecting him to redshirt. The plan was to bring him in here, bring in a secondary quarterback behind Morris, let him redshirt, see what he could do for next year. But if he's playing that well, where they're really thinking that he is a strong number two, that says a lot of his ability. I mean, but you know what? Size is one thing. North Texas is a school that's going to have to play with a player that doesn't have the size, a player that doesn't quite have something. And so if he can bring everything else to the table, we can make that work.
You know, someone asked the question, does he have that swagger like Scott Hall? I mean, I think it's early to say that, but I think he, for a true freshman, he looks like he belongs out there. That's my read on it. And
the fact that he's backing up Morris, which he can learn a lot right there. Somebody absolutely. Who played at Alabama, even though he wasn't the starter, he still has a lot of experience under his belt. Coming in here,
he's a legitimate blue chip, right. Top-notch recruit. I mean, if you're signing with Nick Saban in Alabama, you're something special. So that's not a bad guy to be behind. And let's be honest, Evan, we know injuries are going to happen. I mean, it happens every single year. You know, McNulty got beat up last year. I mean, it's part of the part and parcel of this business, I believe.
It was asked, is he basically a better version of Riley? I would say, is he a healthier version? Because Riley was good, he just couldn't stay healthy.
I think he has a better arm than Riley. I'll just be dead square honest with you. But Riley was probably a little bit better runner. They don't think of Fine as being a running quarterback. So I don't think he's that kind of he's not Riley type quickness as far as running the ball. I thought Riley ran the ball amazingly, but I think he's quick enough, and I think he's probably I know he's quicker than Morris, and I'm very sure that he's quicker than O'Hara. O'Hara is more of a stand up pro style quarterback.
So let's step back for a second. So number one is Morris. Number two looks to be Fine now. So that puts number three as
O'Hara.
We expected to be number two.
Yeah, he's the guy from the College of DuPage, and you know he's 6'5". He looks the part. He's got a great arm. And again, this is right now. Things could change in a week's time. And it could be that he is the number two guy, or they could decide, you know what, we really want a red shirt, Fine. But at this point, you know, I think from what we're hearing from practices, and, you know, Brett Vito's going to be on here later, and we'll get some more insight on that from him because he's down on the ground. But it looks like Fine might be the number two guy.
All right. So speaking of running, what about a running game? A lot of people really excited about Weish.
Yeah. I mean, the JUCO transfers, if you just look at this team – in this year, I mean, after last season, you could say, wow, we don't have a lot to look forward to. But this coaching staff has managed to put some players in, some transfers that are key transfers. You brought up Alec Morris, right? Weich is another one that is explosive from the running back position. He's got good hands. He's shifty. He could do a lot of things, you know, to SMU and the rest of the schedule that they probably aren't prepared for because he's brand new, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of guys at various positions. You know, of course, we just had a couple more that got their eligibility approved today that could impact this team. So there's a lot of – I give a lot of credit to Latrell and the coaching staff. They didn't just stick with the guys they had and try to develop them. They – added some pieces that could make this season interesting, especially for the fans.
Well, so let's talk about those. Two people that were qualified to play, I guess, today or allowed to play. I don't know what's the term I'm looking for here.
They got through the clearinghouse.
Approval.
Yeah,
they were approved to play.
Academically, basically.
And these are positions that we really need to make sure that we have. We were concerned about wide receivers, so now.
Yeah. Well, the depth, basically, Darius Turner is a defensive back from Arizona Western who just got his eligibility approved today. And then Quentin and Jackson is a wide receiver. Actually, the teammate of Devin O'Hara at College of DuPage, you know, 6'3", 208-pound receiver. That's not bad numbers. I think both of these guys can help. Now, I would say defensive back is actually probably one of the deeper positions of this team, and this just adds more depth. But I don't think you can have too much depth at that position, honestly.
Well, how was the – I mean, okay. So talking about depth at that position, what about our skill and talent at that position? Because I know there was some questions about the defense. A lot of people were concerned about the defense. And in all indications right now, the defense is looking a lot better than anticipated. But, excuse me, I know that Jenkins was cleared well.
Yeah, I mean, it's there are a lot of new faces. Now, will these guys help these late arrivals, or is it going to take them a little time to work into the system and work their way up the depth chart? But I think that's the thing that has me so excited about this season is that there are so many new faces and guys that not necessarily just from high school, but guys that actually played at junior college, you know, which I think you could argue is a little higher level of talent and competition. And so you don't really know. I mean, it's kind of a wild card, but it's a good thing to have these new guys that have some experience as part of the program.
All right. Before we get into, let's talk about a few other positions that have kind of been questionable and everything. The defensive line.
Yeah.
A lot of questions on that. We really want to see the defensive line step up. We want to see pressure on the quarterback. We haven't been able to bring a lot of pressure recently. So what are we looking at there? Have we seen any names come out?
I mean, the big name coming out of camp on the defensive line is Jared Combs. Again, another junior college transfer. He was highly regarded last year when we brought him in. You know, the knock on JUCO players is that it takes them a while to adjust to the system. You know, if you can get a good year and a half out of them, you've done well because you've only got 2 years typically to work with. But Combs is a guy that looks and has the ability to really make an impact on the defensive line. He's big. He's fast. I remember when we signed him, I was so excited because he, you know, was a guy that other programs wanted and was pretty highly regarded. Everything I'm hearing from my sources is that this guy is really making a difference and is really coming into his own. So I would say that's a name that you would want to keep an eye on for sure as far as the defensive line going into this season.
Let's move over to the offensive side of the ball. We talked about receivers. We've talked about – what about the offensive line? I know we had not a lot return. I mean, what do you think how they're going to play out? And are we getting any indications from practices what kind of protection they're getting?
You know, it's if there was a position on the team that's the biggest question mark, I think it's the offensive line. I worry about the fact that we really have one – solid guy that's back this year, which is basically Sam Rice, and they've moved him to the center position. Outside of that, there's a lot of question marks.
Well, you got Creighton Barr at center as well.
Well, Creighton Barr is not playing center, though. I mean, that they've moved Sam Rice to the center position, and I think that's a good move. I think he's had some problems with his shotgun snaps, but he's a player, and I think he's going to be good there.
The snaps I did hear, a lot of them flying over the punter's head.
Yeah, and that's normal to have that happen. But, you know, he'll be able to straighten that out. You know, he'll be able – the more snaps he gets, the more numbers, the better. But I think the offensive line is probably the biggest question mark. And especially with this passing offense, you got to give the quarterback time. So, and you need to get the running game off the ground.
What about Trey Interline? Why was he not – practicing as he's the main deep snapper? And I know that Vito had said something about that on one of his vlogs that he wasn't participating. Is there an injury there? Or?
I have not heard a thing about any injuries. And of course, he's like, Latrell's like Mac. They don't release anything as far as injuries. So I have not heard anything official on that. But
okay.
There's a couple of deep snappers on the roster. So it's not like they're, you know, if he was out for a while, but that is a concern because that, you know, what can happen if you have a new deep snapper.
What about Spencer Edwards, the MLB draft player, the guy, the former Rockwall standout, playing receiver now? It's nice to see we've got plenty of people. We got a little more depth at receiver, but do we know how he's doing? Everybody says he's quite a specimen.
Yes, I think the challenge with receivers, you know, there's a lot of talent there, and but you can't really use the term depth until you see how these guys play. But, you know, when you look at the fact that they added another JUCO receiver today that's got some size, you look at Terrion Gurie, I mean, he's a guy that has all the talent. I mean, he's one of the highest recruited players we've had here. Rutherford, you know, 6'5", got great hands. There are some guys with talent at the wide receiver position. Now, Smiley's going to have to sit out this SMU game. He's probably the best all-around receiver that we have. But we do have some guys that can play, and we do have some guys that have some ability. It's just going to see how quickly they can gel in this system and if you know, Morris can get them the ball.
I'm anxious to see how the coaching staff and the athletic department, what are we going to see in game day attitudes, if anything's changed. RV's been here for so long. Is Wren going to be down there? Are we going to see? Is he going to be as visible? Is the game day experience going to change with Satrell? With Latrell there and Wren. I know Wren hasn't been here very long, but you know, are we going to see anything different? I noticed that Brett had mentioned on his blog that there was two new positions up at the athletic department being created.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there is a complete reorganization going on. And I think it probably needed to be done. RV, like you said, had been there such a long time that you probably need to look at the organizational structure and the positions that are there and kind of think about, is that the best way to maximize our situation? I do not see changes coming right here before the season in terms of personnel, but in terms of game day experience, I think at this point I wouldn't expect a whole lot of changes. I just get the feeling it's kind of – Latrell's kind of a younger, more youthful the music, you know, it wouldn't shock me at all. I mean, he jams out the music at those practices, so it wouldn't surprise me at all to see some interesting music selections over the loudspeakers. The thing that I love about Latrell, though, I don't know, did you catch the video of him returning punts?
No, I didn't.
It was so cool. I mean, basically, he was back there returning punts, and he, you know, grabbed a punt and ran down the field, and, you know, everyone was cheering and
Does
stuff
he have
around
any
him.
Eligibility?
I know, but, I mean, it's just, you know, that's such a different look from your coaching staff from where we were with Mac. You know, Mac was more traditional and just kind of a little more old school. So I think it'll definitely have an impact, but exactly how much that's going to affect game day remains to be seen.
All right, joining us right now on the line is the beat writer for North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Go ahead, Harry.
Brett, we talked a little earlier about some late additions, which I'm sure is good news for Latrell and the coaching staff. I know you're on top of that story. Looks like they added a defensive back, Darius Turner, and a wide receiver, Quentin Jackson, to the roster. Talk a little bit about that and kind of what the reaction is from the staff and stuff about having those guys on board.
Yeah, I mean, these were guys that submitted over the summer in the late junior college guys. And, you know, they weren't there right off the bat, but they were guys that North Texas was expecting to report a little bit later in the summer. You know, these were guys that had some needed some extra time to graduate from junior college, so they're coming in late. Darius has been hanging out for weeks. He's been waiting for his grades to clear from Arizona Western. I've stood around and practiced with him quite a bit when practice was still open. And, you know, and Quentin Jackson was Devin O'Hara's main target out at DuPage in Illinois. So they took Devin O'Hara, and then after that, you know, they got Jackson. Now, both of these guys were players who had some offers and some opportunities, but, you know, because they graduated a little bit later, probably they lingered on the market a little bit longer, and North Texas was able to come in and snap them up.
Okay, so talk a little bit about the quarterback situation. I know you kind of hinted in one of your blog posts about fine being the second guy. Can you give a little more? I know you're limited in how much detail you can provide on the blog space-wise, but just your thoughts around how he may be actually moving into the second slot.
Yeah, you know, I was really surprised by this because when I saw this all play out on paper over the last few months, when I looked at it, I said, okay, this is pretty obvious the way this is going to go. You've got a graduate transfer from Alabama. The only way you bring him in is if you think he's going to start. So he's your obvious starter. And then if you go out there and you sign a junior college guy, my thought immediately was, okay, well, there's your backup, and then you redshirt fine. You know, that, you know, as your future guy. And I think what's really happened here is that Fine has exceeded expectations to a pretty large degree. I mean, they knew he was a good quarterback coming in. He put up all kinds of ridiculous numbers in Oklahoma, but, you know, he was playing at the small school level. I'm just not sure that North Texas thought he would immediately translate as well as he has, because he has played particularly well in practice, keeps coming on, and, you know, I would just straight out, or it wasn't me that asked, but somebody asked how the backup quarterback situation was going at Latrell's little press conference at the end of camp there. And Latrell just pretty much said, you know, that he's played terrifically well and kind of hinted at the fact that he wasn't afraid to put Fine in there as the backup quarterback. And I don't know, man, he may even be – he's pushing Morris a little bit. You know, I maybe have had one of the better camps of anybody there.
Okay, so you went on your predictions, which that always – we were just commenting, there's like 50 replies, things already like 4 or 5 pages long on the board. It's a fan favorite every year, but Brett does this get your rear on the record, and he's been doing it for a decade or more. So we kind of thought it was interesting for you to go 4-8. Is that just a little optimism on your part for a change?
Brett, we were all surprised, Brett.
Yeah, we thought it'd be fewer than that.
I don't know, man. It's hard to – you look at it, and what I was saying a lot is the summer, for whatever reason, is the greatest deodorant in college football. Everybody looks at their team at the end of the year, and you look – and if you think about where North Texas was at the end of last year, you looked at that roster, you said, man, North Texas is pretty much, you know, in a big hole in terms of talent. They got a new coaching staff that's going to be implementing an entirely new system. You know, it just didn't look very promising there at all. And, you know, you look at it again at the end of the summer, and you see all the new guys come in. You look at some of the guys that played well, and for whatever reason, you know, everybody kind of talks themselves into a team being better than probably what they are on paper. And maybe I fell into that a little bit. You know, I think there's some guys that they brought in that have some talent. You know, and I think that you've got a new coaching staff that's really kind of, you know, brought some new enthusiasm there. I thought that was a telling quote from T. Gordy about how much more optimism there is and how much better the guys feel about it. And I thought, well, I usually try to go over a little bit. So I thought maybe 4-8 would be a reasonable pick for those reasons.
So we've been kind of discussing amongst ourselves the, you know, the Ren Baker thing is official as of the 22nd, and I realize it's only a few days, you know, there hadn't been that many days in his regime, but are you sensing anything different? I mean, I know we saw that on the board there were some athletic positions that had been posted on their hiring website, but I mean, is it too early to really get a feel for any changes that the new regime may be bringing on?
Are those new positions completely, or are they consolidating?
Yeah, you know, I addressed that on the blog, and the thing is, to be perfectly honest, I've spent the last couple of weeks really in the throes of trying to put together a football magazine that's going to be in the paper tomorrow. I don't pay as close of attention as I, or talk to as many people, or get as much stuff done as I usually do when we're in that deal, because it just takes 108 pages. It takes a lot of time to design that thing, and I'm the one that does that, so I get a little behind on that. I did ask about the positions, and I was told that they're going to be new positions. That he's bringing in 2 high-level administrators, which I believe, if I understood this correctly, and I didn't ask Ren Baker, so my understanding is that these guys will fall in right underneath him, probably at that second layer of administrative staff.
Interesting.
And then they work with Mike Ashbaugh, with Hank Dickinson, and all those other guys. Or maybe Hank is on that same level too. I wasn't real clear as to where they're going to fit in, but those are all high level administrative type positions, which is interesting because North Texas, I've always thought, had a pretty sizable administrative staff, and now you're adding in a couple more guys if everybody stays on.
Right. In terms of, you know, just the Ren Baker, I mean, have you had any interaction with him? I mean, is he at practice? You know, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he was at it was one of the scrimmages, and I forget. It all kind of runs together here at this time of year, but I think it was the last scrimmage. You know, we were walking off, and, you know, Ren was there, Ernie was there, you know, a lot of other booster types were there. Because, you know, those guys do show up. I think C-Dan was there, you know, and they're all standing around. And so I had a chance to just basically say hello and, you know, kind of talk with Ernie and Ren for just a second, just to say hi or whatever. And that was about it. But from what I've been told, and I haven't directly talked to him because this is the case, but I'm sure the person told me this is right, that he's been, you know, kind of really running from meeting to meeting and kind of figuring out what he needs to do and meeting people and, you know, all that kind of thing, which you would expect.
So, as you know, we do this live in the chat room, and we've got people that are asking questions, and the question that keeps coming up, and I was going to hit it at the end, but I'll go ahead and knock it out since you mentioned it. For those out-of-town people and those in-town people, both, because we have both asking the question, how can they best get a copy of your football, your 100-page plus football special?
Well, with any kind of luck, I mean, last year we had a big snafu, but it should be in tomorrow's paper.
Okay.
So
just get us...
Last year somehow it didn't get coded right, it didn't get inserted in the paper, but I've been assured that it will make it into the paper tomorrow. So if you're in town,
just pick up a copy of the paper.
Run by any newsstand tomorrow and grab it, you know, store or whatever. The one caveat I have is that football tab day, everybody knows it's coming, so it sells out in a flash. You know, a lot of places will run out of papers pretty quick.
So if you're out of town,
find one tomorrow.
Yeah, if you're out of town, you've got to have a friend here that is in town that's willing to go buy a paper for you and stick it in the mail. Is that the best option for out of town?
Or call up the office. You know, I think we've sold them and sent them out before in the past, you know, that kind of thing.
And what
I
is,
believe that's the case.
Right. So
I'm not 100% positive on that, but that's, you know, you should be able to get a hold of one. I know we've thrown a bunch in the mail in the past. Or if you're going to some of the high school games in town, we put a stack of copies at the major stadiums around.
Okay, so back to football. We had a question. Wilson and Weish are getting a lot of talk. I've heard Seth Luttrell mention Tucker in interviews. I guess that's Andrew Tucker.
Yeah.
Seems like he likes him. Will there be any carries available for Tuck this season?
I think so. I mean, he's running second team right now. And Wilson got a little dinged up in practice. Well, not dinged up. He got kind of sick in practice and missed some time there. And they really do like, you know, they like this JUCO transfer. They like Anthony Weish quite a bit. And, you know, the whole premise of this thing, we're going back – turning back the clock here. You remember all the time that when Todd Dodge used to talk about we're going to get the ball in a lot of different playmakers' hands. Well, you're starting to hear the same kind of thing because, you know, it's a spread system. It's a similar type of philosophy with hurry up and stuff like that. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Andrew get, you know, some touches every game.
Okay, so we got to talk. We've been talking a ton about offense. Defense, you know, last season with the possible exception of a good effort against SMU for three quarters, the defense just couldn't stop anybody. And UTSA was another, you know, with decent, but overall.
Well, Tennessee, you know, they gave it 24 against Tennessee.
Yeah, good point, good point. Too. But you get my point. In general,
yeah,
the defense has been really bad. So what do you think? I know obviously Eckler has brought some new faces in, some JUCO transfers. I talked earlier, just so you know, about Jared Combs and what he, you know, he seems to be getting a lot of positive reviews. Is there any other things about the defense that you think is reason for optimism for North Texas fans?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that Luttrell has talked a lot about, and, you know, we'll see when they roll him out there, but he's been really high on North Texas' defensive line and how that unit is really going to help them. And I think that's a really positive sign because we know that North Texas can play in the back end.
Right.
You know those two safeties are solid. Gray, Keyshawn McClain. Keyshawn was a preseason all-conference pick, and that was voted on by the coach. So you know you're solid back there. You got a couple of, you know, Nate Brooks might have had the best camp of anybody. And then, you know, hopefully Chad gets back 100% healthy. And if he doesn't right away, you've got another couple of options there. You're pretty deep in the secondary. And they're also very high on that freshman that they got at the last minute because he couldn't get into Rice Jamil Moore. I think you're solid across the back there, and I think we knew that. The question has been their front seven. Well, you know, you got Roger King that's really good, but he's really excited about the rest of the guys that they've got up front there. And I think that's a positive sign. You brought in Wheeler. I just talked to Jared today, actually, and Jared was talking about how much better prepared he is this year, how much more comfortable he feels just because he's been there a year and has gotten used to the Division I level. I think that helped. I think Jerrion Roberts is kind of back to being healthy. You know, if that unit turns out to be, you know, at least averaging Conference USA, I think that could really help. And then you've got your linebackers. And granted, those guys were not very good last year, but now they've got more experience.
Right.
And I think that really helps a bunch. You know, the one guy, they signed the junior college defensive player of the year last year, struggled a little bit, but now Courtney Finney has had a year of experience. Does that talent that made him one of the best defensive players in junior college football start to really show this year? Maybe it does. And if it does, I think you start to piece together a more effective defense.
Okay. So we got, I can't believe SMU. And what is it, Evan, like 9 days?
Yeah, like 9 days or 9-10 days in a wake up, something like
so
that.
So you got them at home. I think it'll be a decent crowd. It's not going to be a sellout, but I think it'll be a decent crowd. I think because people are interested in the students. It's first year, you know, the later start time, 6 p.m. is
later
a good
start
thing.
Time than yes, last year, yes. Which is good. It won't be as hot. It's also students always show up for the first game. It's against SMU, and the high of that day is supposed to be like 85. So right now everything's aligning up that it could be a really, really good crowd.
Yeah, and the question is, can we hang with them? I mean, last year we couldn't at their place, but could this year be different?
What do we know about SMU? I mean, I just like for me, I haven't been – Brett, you're closer to most of these situations. What are you thinking of their team and how we'll match up?
Yeah, I mean, SMU should be better than they were last year. You know, it's the same concept. They've had a year in the system. And I think the thing that they've really got going for them is they've, you know, Matt Davis, their quarterback there, I mean, he's a pretty talented guy. I mean, I saw one national web outlet named him like one of the most highly underrated quarterbacks in the country this year. I think he'll be really good. And you got to look at how many skill position players they had last year who were very early in their careers. They had the, you know, Courtney Sutton. They had a freshman All-American wide receiver. They had two young running backs that really played pretty well for them. You know, they've got some other pieces there. They brought in a good recruiting class. They just got another graduate transfer today. I forget which position he played, but
They got an Arkansas quarterback, real highly rated guy when he was coming out of high school, Rafe something.
Yeah, he was in contention for that second, for the backup job at Arkansas for a while, and then he ended up leaving. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that they picked up another couple of graduate transfer today that should be eligible.
Well, hey, look, I mean, I look at SMU and say they're basically they're probably the same team and better than they were last year. I mean, because he's been recruiting. I mean, you got to give Morris credit. He's been recruiting well. And I expect them to be a very talented team, but I do like the fact we get them at home. And hey, man, the ball can bounce different ways. You know what I mean? You never know with turnovers and stuff, and them on the road. If we could have a good crowd, it could definitely be interesting.
Oh, I definitely think it will be interesting. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm not sure if you'd want to chalk that up as a W right off the bat. I mean, it's probably a competitive game. You know, they've got some talent. They're a little further along in the process. You know, it could go either way, but I think you've got to be pretty realistic about, you know, potentially that they may not win that game. You know,
And the season's not over. I mean, if you lose to SMU, the season's not over.
No, it's not. You know, they've got a tough schedule, but, you know, that's the thing. I mean, they could potentially win that game. And just think if they did win that game, if they shocked everybody and pulled that out somehow, I think that just changes the way everybody looks at it.
Okay, I keep getting questions. And then we're going to move to basketball. So just real quick, the K-State transfer, can you talk about him? Is he going to help us this year? Is he taking up space? I know he's a big guy, but do you think that he's a guy that can help him?
You know, that's interesting to bring that up because I have delved into that. I think I'm gonna make my Thursday story, you know, about him the week of the game. There's a really good backstory there. I don't think he's a guy they just added to add it. that, you know, they didn't add him just to add him. I think he's the guy that can help him. And before I forget here, yes, here's the graduate transfer. They added Iowa State graduate transfer defensive tackle Terry Ayani to the roster today.
Yay.
6'2", 270 pounds, played 1 year, landed in Mexico military, you know. And so they got, they did, that was the graduate transfer I was thinking. And he was playing at Iowa State. So, anyway.
Hey, that's a nice thing, more depth. I mean, who knows if the guy can play or not or what. But anyway, so our guy, the K-State guy, you think is going to help us?
Yeah, I mean, I asked about that today. And I think the thing you got to remember here is, you know, there was a good reason for this guy to want to come home. And he wasn't just some body that was sitting on the bench up at Kansas State. This guy actually played. You know, he didn't put up spectacular numbers, but this was a guy that was on the field in the Big 12. And he's a huge guy. And, you know, that gives you another option there. It gives you a lot more depth. And the thing is, you know, they really think that Roderick Young is one of their better players. Well, now you've added another guy that you can play at that nose tackle position. You can kind of rotate some guys in and out. You still got a few other guys at that spot, too. I just think it's only going to help them.
So let's talk a little basketball. I know it's a – gosh, man, basketball is such a controversial on Go Mean Green, man. It's like, you know, it's hard to be even semi-optimistic because of the hatred of Benford. But I think it does – you know, you had the story about Combs being a top 100-ranked player. And I just got to – I got to say this, you know, people slam Benford on his coaching, and I think it's well-deserved. I mean, he should have done a lot better in the time he's been here. But you look at a player like Jeremy Combs, and I'm here to say, I mean, this guy is a really good player and one of the better players we've had in the program in a long, long time. You know, what are your thoughts in terms of this basketball season? I mean, can you – with the pieces that they put together, and I guess they just added a new assistant coach. I mean, what's the story on the assistant coach from UTSA? I mean, was he just looking for a job, or what's the story on that deal? Because you wouldn't think this is a conducive environment for a coach to jump into. I mean, I think this could be a one and done type deal.
Yeah, you know, I haven't written as much about basketball in the last couple of years because interest in it has just kind of fallen off the cliff. But the thing is this guy was at UTSA, and the UTSA staff got let go. And this guy has a bunch of ties to Rob Evans and Tony Benford. You know, I think I'd have to look back to be certain, but I think he was on Coach Evans' staff at one point at one of his stops, either with Arizona State or Mississippi, or down in Mississippi. So, you know, he's on the market. He was looking for a job. He had connections to UNC's guys. They also did consider, from what I've been told, they also really considered the former high school coach from Dallas that we mentioned that applied for the job. And then in the end, they decided to go with this guy. And he replaces Scott Monarch, and Scott Monarch was their X's and O's, you know, basketball IQ guy. So, you know, he slides into that spot. And, you know, it's going to depend on what they put together. I mean, they do have some really talented players. Combs is a terrific player. You know, J. Michael Reese is a solid player. You got Decky Johnson, who, when he's on, is terrific. You've got some other pieces there. The question is going to be is if these JUCO guys that they signed to help fill the post, you know, play those forward spots are going to be worth anything.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Benford's been really hit and miss on JUCO guys, especially JUCO bigs. Or, you know, big guys in general. And that's true in the lower levels of college basketball because those guys are hard to find.
Yeah, you got to take more chances for sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, do these guys show up and do they play well enough to potentially, you know, help them get better? Because the rest of the Conference USA is going to get better, period. You know, this UAB is not going away. Middle Tennessee is not going away. You know, a lot of these Rice is getting better, you know. So the question is going to be, can they turn 12-20 into 20-12?
Right.
Can they flip it on the basis of, you know, and it's going to be largely the same team, and that's your debate. Okay, is that you went 12-20 last year, and you're bringing back a ton of players. You're bringing back, you know, essentially you're adding two or three players to your roster. Well, is that a good thing? Because everybody's going to be more experienced, you're going to be better, or does that just mean you're going to be slightly better with those players, and then you're just going to be a bad team again?
It's interesting to me because there's definitely a sense of urgency, and you just hadn't felt that from him. I don't know what it is about him. And he just kind of, I guess with basketball, you think, well, if it all goes to crap, we still got the tournament. And I just get the feeling that he doesn't have that kind of time this year. I can see, you know, Ren Baker from a PR standpoint could be the, you know, the guy that requires the sacrifice of the coach that everybody is down on. You know what I mean? And it could happen early. That's what's kind of ironic to me, because a couple of really good players are going to be there in December. And I guess they'll probably lean towards letting him go through the whole season. But I'm just saying, if he comes out and loses a bunch of games right off the bat, man, I could see him pull the trigger. I hate to say that.
Well, I mean, but where are you going to go?
Let Rob Evans coach the rest of the season. You know what I mean?
This has been brought up time and time again, and this is one thing that I haven't addressed, but I'll go ahead and do it here. Rob Evans and Tony Benford, I mean, those guys are like – those guys are yin and yang. Those guys are practically related. I think they are distantly related. I find it very hard to believe that if North Texas walks in and says, we're getting rid of Tony Benford, and then they're going to go to Rob Evans and say, we're simply going to fire a guy that's like a son to you, and we want you to take over the rest of the season. I don't buy that for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't think that – I find that incredibly far-fetched that he's going to say, oh, yeah, you know, fire – you know, go ahead and go fire the guy who, you know, is practically a family member to me, you know, I'm incredibly close with. Rob Evans doesn't need a whole bunch of extra money.
No, he's doing fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just don't see that. So, I mean, if you're talking about you get rid of Benford, is Rob Evans? I don't think that's going to happen. Is he going to take over? Is Rob Evans going to he'd probably stay the rest of the year, but he's not going to take over. So where else are you going?
No, you make a valid point there, Brett. Well, okay, so we're fixing to have to wrap it up. We're about out of tape. Thank you so much for coming on for an extended version tonight. And one last time, please tell everyone again how to get their hands on this awesome. It's 100 pages long, tons of North Texas.
This is the primer you need to know everything about football.
This is like, you know, Brett's a cocoon all year long, and then this it's like a butterfly moment. Yeah,
this
Brett.
Is when I run up to Denton to get a copy of this and a new hat for the season.
That's right.
What I do. So
kill two birds with one stone. Right. So, Brett, one last pub for that.
Yeah, it's going to be in the paper tomorrow. It's our annual football magazine edition. It's got 25 pages worth of North Texas stuff in it, and it's got all the area high school stuff in it as well. It's the best product we put out all year, bar none. It's been named one of the top 10 special sections in the country for papers our size the last 8 years in a row.
Awesome.
We put everything that we've got into this. You know, I pretty much sacrificed sleep for 2 weeks to get this thing finished here. I mean, it's all locally written. There's no Associated Press wire. There's no nothing that's not local. It's 108 pages of strictly football, Denton, North Texas, and Denton Area High Schools. It's everything you need to know. It's something we take a lot of pride in. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it'll be in the paper tomorrow, and you can pick one up or, you know.
Hey, Brett.
Figure out a way to get one.
Hey, Brett, El Paso Eagle, who's a longtime North Texas fan, he wants to get a copy, but of course he lives out.
We talked.
Okay,
yeah,
he asked if there's a number to call. What does that circulate? How would they get hold of that call in to get one sent?
Yeah, just call our main office line, I believe. And you know, if all else fails, if you call our main office line and you can't find somebody that can get you one, I mean, shoot me an email or something, and I'll figure out a way that, you know, we can get our loyal readers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great thing.
Perfect.
Brett. And we appreciate you for putting all this work into it. And we'll continue to talk with you as the season progresses. I mean, gee whiz, we got next week is the pregame episode.
That's it.
So hopefully you
can join us next week before we kick it off, Brett. So,
oh, yeah, I can be back.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining in, Brett.
Thank
we'll
you,
let
Brett.
You go.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. We'll see you.
All right, that was Brett Vito, the beat writer for the North Texas beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle. This is the fun time of year.
I'm telling you, man.
It's like the next 9 days, it's like Friday. You know, it's exciting. There's something going on. Every day there's new work. I just got a thing, and we didn't really have a chance to talk to it. Maybe we can talk about it briefly next week. But Ren Baker on Twitter just liked one of our tweets, the one about the top eateries in Denton, the places to go. And I was looking through that. And let me tell you, there's some really cool little places that I completely forgot about or I haven't been to. So I think you and I were talking about maybe going up there next Tuesday. As well, hit a couple places. We're going to hit that surplus place to get some jerseys or something. Maybe check those out. But man, let's grab some lunch at one of those places while we're in Denton. Take a look at that list and see where we haven't tried.
Yeah, that there's so many cool places in that thread that I would say. I need to go up there and like spend a week to get to all of them because there's so many of them.
We're going to have to pick one.
But as the season goes on, we'll try to get out and visit them and you know, can give some reviews and things like that. But it is very exciting time. I cannot wait for this season to start.
No better little town to visit in fourth football season. That's perfect.
Right.
We are lucky to have gone there. So with that, we will go ahead and wrap it up. And we'll be back next week for our last edition before the season starts. Hopefully Ashton will be back with us. If not, then we will be doing it. Just the two of us. So thanks for joining in, and go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.